is so exciting. Who knows how long this will last? Okay, so we're going to jump straight in. Does anybody know what state we're doing today?
Illinois.
Nice.
I love this. We have some roots from Illinois, so I'm excited.
That's exactly right. I was excited to get this one because we've been to Illinois a lot ever since we were small. And also because Illinois is, of course, home to Chicago, which is a major city for industry and population. So I was pretty excited to see like what the I'm going to lose my mind. My computer just spontaneously disconnected from the internet. So I was over on the page with the notes and it was like, you're not connected to the internet. And I'm like, well, that's great. So they can't hear me either.
No, not at all. We missed it. I heard we've been to Illinois.
We have been to Illinois. But I was excited because Illinois is the home of Chicago, right? Which is one of the oldest cities, major city for industry and population. And it's filled with some really scary urban legends.
Yay.
Lots of them. I was delighted because next summer, provided that coronavirus doesn't screw up 2021 like it has 2020, we're supposed to be going to Chicago for a family reunion next year.
Right. I hope that you're not going to tell us something that makes us not want to visit Illinois anymore because
that's not
because you love Illinois.
That won't work out.
Right.
It's not going to be convenient for our travel plans. Well, I tell you what, let's jump in and you tell me at the end if you think that 2021 looks like a likely Chicago visit or not.
Okay.
So, you know, you guys know that I like to look at lots of different sources and kind of list out everything and then pick the one that I'm going to do. So I did the same thing in Chicago, just checking to make sure y'all can still hear me. This is exciting.
Yeah, I can still hear you.
So there were some good ones and I'm just going to run down a couple of the urban legends just so you can understand that they're Illinois. We could probably do 7 episodes on Illinois, honestly. Uh-huh. So here were some of them that popped up during the research. The ghost elephants in Forest Park.
I'm in. Okay.
The Candyman.
Oh, dear. I'm out.
Homie the Clown.
Stop.
Don't tell that.
And then
that
a couple
one.
That we're getting ready to talk about. Well, we're not talking about any of those, but like those were just some of the examples of ones in Illinois. So it was full of potential.
Okay. So
go ahead.
To tell me, hold on, that we have to talk about creepy children all the time, but we can't talk about Homie the Clown.
Nope. Sure can.
We could talk about Homie the Clown. Tammy doesn't want us to.
No, she does not. Okay, so what are we actually covering?
Probably the most popular or the most well-known story is that of Resurrection Mary. Have you ever heard of her?
I have not.
Okay, so Resurrection Mary, this is going to sound kind of familiar. She is a young woman who constantly appears to visitors at the well-known Resurrection Cemetery. So we've kind of heard those things before, Lady of the Lake, similar kind of things. So that's probably the most well-known story. But I thought the most interesting and maybe even the spookiest is the story of the devil baby at Hull House. Have you ever heard of that?
I'm sorry. What?
All right.
Here we go with the creepy children. Let's go. All right.
Okay, but devil you guys baby. are going to like this one because there's lots of history. And for Tammy, there's lots of feminism. Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So on the west side of Chicago in the early 1900s, there is a small settlement house that was co-founded by Jane Addams and Ellen Gates Starr called Hull House. This settlement, I just thought this was fascinating. The settlement was opened to house newly arrived European immigrants. So it was kind of a compound in a way without the creepy connotations of a compound. And by 1911, it had grown to include more than 13 buildings. So it's called Hull House, but it's not just a house.
Okay.
Got it.
Jane Addams, who was one of the co-founders, would later go on to be the first woman to win the Nobel Peace Prize in 1931 as a result of her work founding the Women's Peace Party, which later became the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom.
Okay. Cool, right?
Okay, Jane Addams. Yeah. I see you.
I know. I was on board from the beginning.
I want to be like her when I grow up.
Yeah, you really do, though. Listen up. So Hull House was Chicago's first social settlement. It was designed to be a place to offer art and literary education to those less fortunate. The role of Hull House in the community grew quickly and evolved into a location that might offer new immigrants practical classes to help them become immersed in American culture and society. So some of those classes included English, cooking, American history, and sewing. The residents were both men and women, and if they chose to live at Hull House, they paid rent and contributed to the activities and services that the settlement was committed to providing for its community. And those services included, but were not limited to, a nursery, a kindergarten, public kitchen, access to public baths, and a playground. Hull House became a cultural center with music, art, and theater, but also a safe haven for immigrants living on the West Side to find companionship and support that they needed. So I'm sure you guys can already appreciate what Hull House contributed to society just in general, especially for the early 1900s.
Yeah, it sounds like a lovely place.
I want to hang out there.
I know. Well, I just think it's great because, you know, now, like in the 2020s, it's not about, like, if you come to America, you don't have to immediately become Americanized, right? Like, we're trying to make more of an effort to appreciate and understand different cultures. But this was almost 100 years ago. And so to be successful living here as a new immigrant, you needed to learn a lot of the things that would allow you to be successful. So these ladies just created this space, and it was all about culture. It was about immersing them in the American lifestyle and providing public services. So, like, just from the beginning, I'm already like, right, I want to go visit this place.
Yeah. I'm worried about the devil baby, but I'm interested.
I'm loving the idea behind it anyway.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so Hull House is still very much a location, and it's actually a museum now. And tourists often visit just because of the historical significance. I got on the website, provides lots of information. I actually got a lot of the background information of Hull House from the website. But strangely, it mentions absolutely nothing about the rumored devil baby.
Of course it doesn't.
So, the stories say, in 1913, a Chicago woman gave birth to a child born with horns, hooves, and a tail, and brought him to Hull House, where a baptism was attempted, and the baby was later locked in the building's attic.
Okay.
That's the story.
Reminds me of American Horror Story.
It does. It actually did me too, especially like season one where there was the child in the attic.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Right.
So thousands of people learned of this rumor and came to Hull House in order to see the demon child with their own eyes, which no one actually was able to. The story became so famous that it is rumored to have inspired author Ira Levin's book and later on the film Rosemary's Baby. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's the origin story for Rosemary's Baby. Through everything, the facility's residents and volunteers insist that no baby ever existed. Rumors, though, persist to this day. Some people even claim you can sometimes see the devil baby in the upper windows of the house, even though no one lives there anymore and the house is no longer a house but a museum.
Okay,
so you remember Jane Addams, founder?
I do.
Okay, she actually gave an interview in 1916, which is three years after the supposed birth of the devil baby, and she spoke to a publication called The Atlantic. It is subtitled, A Tale of Poverty, Suspicion, and the Struggles of Ordinary Women. The article is long, but it's well written, so I'm just going to paraphrase. And you know how good I am at paraphrasing, so hang in there.
I'm ready.
For 6 weeks in 1913, groupings of women would burst into Hull House asking to see the devil baby, and no amount of conversation could convince them it didn't exist. Women came from every part of the city and its suburbs, and there were so many that it actually affected the regular daily and nightly activities that should have been happening in Hull House. It started when three Italian women burst into the facility with a great story. According to them, the mother of the devil baby had been a pious Italian woman who had married an atheist. Her husband tore down a holy picture and said he would sooner have a devil in the house. Not long after that, the young woman gave birth to a devil baby that was fully formed and could speak. He chased his father around the table, shouting profanity. Not long after that, I know. Not long after that, she supposedly brought him to Hull House and attempted a baptism. So that's story number one.
Good grief.
Okay.
There was also a Jewish version of the story. It was slightly different, but very much the same. In this version, the parents already had six children who were all girls. When the wife became pregnant a seventh time, the father said he would rather have a devil baby than another girl.
Good grief.
That seems pretty selfish, but okay.
I kind of thought so too. So Adams went on to recount what the 6 weeks were like at Hull House, dealing with calls and visitors, all whom were only interested in the appearance of the devil baby. She made some interesting social commentary that the women seemed to be in their element, bright-eyed and interested in gossip, but also focusing in on the lessons of piety and morality.
Mm.
So that's from her article that she gave, or her interview that she gave in an article. There is a different article that was published in the Chicago Now in 2011. So obviously like 80 years afterwards, or actually no, almost 100 years afterwards. I'm good at math. it claims that even Adams thought Hull House was haunted. So Adams wouldn't confirm the existence of the devil baby, but she thought the house itself was haunted.
Okay. Hmm. I respect her so far. So.
Yeah, I like this woman. I mean, she seems like she had kind of a stiff upper lip and was pretty serious, but was doing a lot of good for the community. In this version, the young Catholic parents, after discovering that they had delivered a deformed demon child,
took
the baby to Hull House to attempt a baptism. The baby apparently laughed at the priest, shunned the holy water, and tried to run away. And then it was locked in the attic at Hull House until it died.
I cannot with this story.
I know. So Adams fully denies this happened in her autobiography, though others think perhaps it was a dramatic version of a baby that was born deformed and brought to Hull House.
Mm.
So that's it's unsubstantiated, but that's kind of the suspicion is like that wouldn't be that uncommon, right?
Right.
A baby is born with a deformity of some sort,
right,
and they try to do a baptism and then the story just grows dramatically.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But Adams never even confirmed that that happened. But she does comment in that same autobiography that she thought the house itself had ghosts.
Huh.
So Adams purchased Hull House from the original owners, wealthy real estate developer Charles J. Hull and his wife. As usual, most women in the early 1900s did not have names.
Just wife.
Right.
Just wife. Adams got to have her own because, you know, she was a feminist pioneer who won an award. But this poor woman was just a wife.
Mm.
The house was constructed in 1856, and Hull's wife passed away in the second floor bedroom. A few months after that, it was reported that her ghost haunted the room. Even after the Hull family moved out, Mrs. Hull's ghost stayed behind.
Okay.
Whether or not you believe that Hull House was once the site of the devil baby or ghosts or none of the above, the settlement and Jane Addams contributed significantly to Chicago society and the development and empowerment of women, especially immigrants, and progression for the female agenda as a whole.
I'm here for it.
I love that.
I can't speak for you two, but Hull House Museum is on my list to visit in 2021 when we head back to Chicago, and we can celebrate the fact that there's finally an urban legend that does not cross off a location from our trip list.
Yeah, nice. I was just about to look at where it was.
I'm excited in Chicago. About to say, like, okay, yeah, we're going.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Like, I really think that would be a good one for us to visit.
Thank you for finding one that won't, like, make me terrified to travel everywhere.
Right?
No, I'm not going
to
be there.
I don't need anything to scare me away from Chicago. I'm glad you didn't talk about the clown.
So that concludes the legend of Hull House. And I knew it was a short one. And since this is my episode and we're talking about Chicago and I love ghosts, I figure I'd sneak in another very famous story if there was time. You here for it?
There's time. I'm ready.
All right. So there's a book, a very famous book. That's one of my mom's favorite books called Devil in the White City. Have you ever heard of it?
I have.
Yeah, my mom likes that one too.
Okay. So in the year 1893, a psychopath called H.H. Holmes built a hotel in preparation for the World's Fair in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Holmes ended up becoming one of America's first serial killers.
Yeah, unfortunately, I am familiar with this story. It's not a nice one.
It's not a nice one, and it's also a very well-known one, so we're not going super in-depth. I just figured we needed to touch on it because it's Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So his hotel, which is now called the H.H. Holmes Murder Castle, is a popular site on many Chicago ghost tours. Who is going with me?
I think I'm in, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You know I take you on ghost tours everywhere we go, though.
Yeah, we do. And I kind of like it.
I love it. So Holmes' story has been covered hundreds of times on TV shows and magazines, on podcasts. It is a rich and lengthy story, so we're not going to dive into all the details here. I'm just going to give you the Cliff Notes version.
Okay.
The former home of the country's serial killer H.H. Holmes is located in Chicago's Inglewood neighborhood. While the building itself has been replaced by a local post office, the site was originally the location of his infamous murder castle. Built in 1893, Holmes hired multiple contractors for various portions of the project to ensure that no person aside from himself knew the floor plan in its entirety. Incorporated into that plan, it is so creepy. There were stairs and hallways that led to nowhere. oddly angled hallways and windowless rooms designed to disorient and trap his victims, whose bodies eventually would be sold to science.
Ew.
Disturbing. Hey.
It's gross. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the American Horror Story season, the hotel, like James March was like loosely based on?
Yes, that's correct. That's exactly right. So it's hard to know definitively just how many people Holmes murdered, although he confessed to 27, most of whom were women. Some historians believe the number to actually be closer to the 200s.
Hmm.
Today's maintenance workers report odd sightings and feelings of intense anxiety while in the building's basement, which is where most of the murders took place.
Yeah.
So it's been over 120 years since Holmes terrorized the Inglewood neighborhood, but his legend is very much alive. And my friends, that is only a taste of what's happening in Chicago, which is only one city in the state of Illinois. I feel like we could revisit this at any point.
My gosh. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm noticing that some states are going to require more episodes than others. Mr. Chu was just like the lone story in Delaware, so there may not be a whole nother episode on that one. But some of the states that I've done so far, I'm like, wow, I could really come back to this several times.
Absolutely. And I think it makes sense, too, because when you're looking at states that have major metropolitan areas or some of the oldest, there's just more opportunity. If you've got a state like Delaware, no offense to Mr. Chu, our good friend, but like there just wasn't a whole lot that happened there. And there's not a whole lot of people that live there. Like, do you know anyone from Delaware? I don't.
No.
Although I'm sure there are people.
I do. One person.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah. I only know her through my best friend, Amanda. Shout out.
Mm-hmm.
Her roommate at RVC, it was from Delaware.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I met her in London, but I do know someone from Delaware.
But do you know anyone from Idaho? Because I hear it's not real.
I don't know.
Thanks for listening to Salt Over Your Shoulder,
a Redwater production.
We appreciate your support. Your download allowed our crazy idea to gain steam and make it into your podcast directories.
We couldn't do this without you. If you'd like to continue your support, you can engage with us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at Salt the Pod, or follow us on Facebook at Salt Over Your Shoulder. You can also email us at saltoveryourshoulder@gmail.com.
Special thanks to the one and only Andrew York for our awesome graphic.
If you'd like to continue your support, please consider giving us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast directory. This helps other people find us as well.
You can also become one of our patrons at patreon.com/saltthepod.